This is Braden from Noble Sports. As always, I'm here to bring another interview with Mackenzie Grouse from the Kansas City Glory. How you doing, Mackenzie?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I can't complain. So it's funky here. I live in Vegas, and it was snowing earlier, so it's weird. So, but
it seems to be a consistent 80 degrees in Tampa this time of year, which is nice, but very different from when I lived in Kansas City.
For the Glory, or are you changing it up?
No, this year I'm going back to the team I first started with, the Kansas City Glory.
The player that I've been talking to, Casey, she's an offensive lineman. I'm spacing because I only know her handle. It's like Casey Stevenson or something like that is her handle on Instagram. And yeah, she's kind of who introduced me to Kansas City Glory. So that's kind of cool.
It's awesome. I'm very new to women's football, but it seems like Kansas City has a rich history of supporting women in football, and I'm definitely happy to be a part of that.
For agreeing to come on and share your story, it's kind of cool. I had no idea that you played for the University of Cincinnati. What position did you play in soccer?
So growing up, I was always like the biggest kid. Like, I feel like I've been 5'8 since, I don't know, maybe third grade. But I started off very early age playing goalkeeper. My coach quickly kicked me out of that position, which I was very thankful for. The remainder of kind of my youth club, I played center back. And then I progressively worked my way up the field. Then I was center mid, and once I was moved up to the older team, I was outside mid and eventually moved back into the center of the park. But finally, our star forward, she was going to play soccer at the University of North Carolina. She was our center forward, and she left our team and went to a different one. So my coach then moved me up center forward my sophomore year. And that's where I played the remainder of high school and then all through college. I was that target forward, the Abby Wambach type. So always like posting up on players, really using my body, my size, my strength to either turn the defender or just be that option for our attacking center mids. And if we were in a two front, my second, usually smaller, faster forward.
I have a little bit of background in soccer. My dad's from Chile originally, so obviously soccer is big. And it's kind of why yesterday, we were supposed to do this interview yesterday, but the Chilean women's team was playing at the same time. And my dad was like, we have to watch it. So I was at their house watching the game, even though they lost and aren't going to be in the World Cup. It's a little disappointing, but I love soccer. I just decided to go the football route because I'm 6'2", and my dad was a little disappointed. None of his kids decided to stick it out, but soccer is such a fun sport.
It really is. You kind of have to get through that growing period of little kid soccer where they're all kind of just following the ball around. I know my dad had a lot of struggles with, you know, watching soccer, but he knew that that's what I'd love to do. He was like, I better really start getting into this because I feel like I have a lot of soccer games ahead of me.
What happened with me is I played goalie and I loved it. That was my position. The one game that my coach was like, hey, let's try you out at something else, I broke my ankle, and that was kind of it for me. I was like, no, I had my position. You took me out of it, and now I don't want to play I don't want to play soccer anymore because a broken ankle is never fun. I play soccer. That's something my daughter is getting into right now at daycare. She plays every Friday for like 45 minutes and loves it. So
I think I was about 3 years old also when I started playing. So Watch out. She's gonna get hooked.
My dad to come out of retirement to coach her because he coached all of us kids, but I think he's reached that point
He's
where
coaching me. He's my best friend.
Coach. Cool. Well, will you go watch your show so I can finish this interview? So let's just kind of dive in. What compelled you from going to playing college soccer to making the transition to pro women's football? Huge change.
I would say it was kind of out of a necessity. I was living in Kansas City after grad school, so I played all 4 years at University of Cincinnati. I continued and got my Master of Architecture from Cincinnati, but during that time I was kind of only playing in like pickup leagues or with former teammates, and it was still really fun. And when I moved to Kansas City, I used it as an opportunity to make friends and meet people. It seems like my whole life, all of my best friends have always just been on my sports team. And when I no longer had that sports team, I was like, uh-oh, how is an adult supposed to make friends? So I played a little bit more in Kansas City. I played on their semi-pro WPSL team. I didn't have a lot of fun with it. The quality of play wasn't really there at the time. And then I kind of joined some other rec leagues, co-ed. But even with that, I still wasn't having the best time. I think I was really missing the structure and really the like team atmosphere and chemistry that just comes along with organized sports. I really miss that grind and suffering next to the girls on my team, which sounds weird, but it was my life for so long that I found myself, when I was in the professional world, needing something more competitive than just, waking up, going to my job, and then coming home. It wasn't until Corporate Challenge, actually. It's a fun thing that the city of Kansas City does. It's all the major corporations. They have basically they put on an Olympics from April to June. There are a bunch of competitions anywhere from a 5 kilometer bike ride around the Kansas Speedway to a marathon to skeet shooting, fishing, dodgeball, all the track events, all the swimming events, 3-on-3 soccer, like everything you could ever imagine. And it's this couple month long competition. And the firm I started working for at the time in Kansas City, they found out that I played soccer in college, and they found out that I swam up until college too. So I got signed up for all of the events, and I told them I'd be down for any of them and all of them besides the marathon. That definitely wasn't going to be the event I'd win points in for my the architecture firm I was working for at the time. But I was actually at a shot put event, and never picked up a shot put before in my life. I see all these women warming up. They have their own balls and special shoes and bags. And I found a bench and I did a couple push-ups on that, arm across the chest, stretched a little bit, and picked up the soft shot put, and then just kind of chucked it like I watched everyone else. And I ended up coming in second place in our division, which it's based on size of your company. So like Sprint was Sprint, H&R Block, Hallmark, they were all, A, and I don't know, we might have been all the way down in D or E, I can't remember. But it turns out the GM at the time was at that shot put event. He messaged me then on Facebook. I didn't see it till months down the road. I feel like my Facebook's kind of locked down, and By that point, the season had been canceled because of COVID and everything, but it kind of got me thinking. First of all, I had never heard about women's football at all. Like you hear about the old lingerie league and stuff like that, but that was never going to be really be my cup of tea. So I started kind of watching some film. The previous year's championship game was on the internet, so I watched that, and I joked around with some of my friends and coworkers, and I was like, "Oh, I mean, I can go and be the kicker. Like that sounds great. I can do that. Like I played soccer all my life. I can probably kick a football." So during quarantine, I actually bought a football and a like a tee to hold up for field goals. And I would just find a random field, go out. I hit a 40-yard field goal with an NFL ball. And I was like, okay, this is maybe something I can get into. And I eventually agreed, kind of once all the COVID lockdowns and everything were over, to go to one of the tryout dates. It was one of the unofficial ones, more just like a team workout for whoever was available and who could get together. And I remember my boyfriend was like, "Oh, you know you're not gonna just be allowed to be the kicker, right?" I was like, "What do you mean?" I just want to be the kicker." And he's like, "They're gonna make you be a tight end." I was like, "Cool, what's that?" And I didn't really know a lot about football. I grew up in Cincinnati, so the Bengals were kind of terrible my whole life, but I moved to Kansas City and it was Patrick Mahomes' first year starting. So I was immediately thrown into this football city where that's all anyone talked about. So it seemed like a good time to really get into the sport. And with the WNFC, it allows me to actually play. So I'm at that first get together, get first workout, and we start doing a drill where you're catching. They're throwing like a tennis ball from your left, a tennis ball from your right, and you're kind of running up the middle. And I caught every single one of them. And then all of a sudden, I start hear coaches around, and I kind of joke it's like in Finding Nemo when all the birds start saying mine, mine. And I just hear like tight end, tight end. And I'm like, okay, well, my boyfriend was right about that one. But it was kind of an easy fit and transition. I have good feet, obviously, good footwork from soccer. And I can I can catch well. I attribute that honestly to being able to head the ball and like following that flight of path and being able to judge it. It's very similar to me. Coach Kiki always says, like, you catch with your eyes. And that's exactly how I would track a soccer ball. That's how I track a football. So the tight end position was kind of an easy transition for me. Like nothing too crazy. And that's kind of where I've been ever since joining. I kick, I punt, tight end. Sometimes they might need me on the line based on some injuries or whatnot, but tight end and kicker are kind of my happy place.
I guess the University of Cincinnati does produce great tight ends, because there's yourself and there's also Travis Kelce on the Chiefs. So
I know we always joke about like it's tight end you, but I'm sure other universities, maybe more in the middle of the country, have something else to say about that. But yeah, some
right
great,
now,
great tight ends have come out of UC.
that's cool. And so I'm a huge BYU fan, and Cincinnati and BYU are making the move to the Big 12, and I think that's going to be so much fun watching them both play, because I don't think they've ever really played against each other in football, so it should be really fun. So I guess So you kind of give your backstory, how you transitioned from soccer to football, which is awesome. Thank you for that. What got you going in sports to begin with? Was it a parent? Was it just something that you wanted to do when you were little? Or how did it all get started for you?
Well, I was the youngest of three girls. So my oldest sister, she's 12 years older than me, and she was really into dance and swimming and cheerleading. And then my middle sister, she's like 9 years older than me. She d played soccer, basketball, softball, swimming. And then so I basically grew up, I was always around sports, whether that was at the boys' basketball games that my sister was cheering at, or the boys' football games that she was cheering at, or both of their swim meets. I really remember being on the sideline of my middle sister's soccer games, and that's a story my dad loves to tell, him showing me how to punt for the first time. And so I really have just grown up around sports. My mom played basketball in high school and she swam. And at the time, she had to be in a separate gym. She was in the girls' gym. She couldn't be in the main boys' gym. And my dad played mainly baseball, but dabbled in a form of football and then like another form of football that they would always play in like their backyard and everything. So sports have always been my life. I started swimming on the swim team when I was three. It was for the six and under division, so I'm sure that was really brutal for parents watching this 3-year-old basically drown in a 25-yard pool. But I loved it, from the swim practices to then soccer practice with the Y League. Those were kind of always like my favorite activities. And then at school with gym class, it was like if I could just take gym class all day, I would be the happiest kid. My parents, they wanted me to be well-rounded. They put me in dance, they put me in gymnastics, but neither of those really lasted long. I was in T-ball, but I hated the idea of hitting it off a tee, so I made the coaches pitch to me. I think that was just me watching my older sister play softball. I'm like, they don't have tees. Like, I don't need a tee. So I've kind of always had this like competitive nature. And my parents were in town a couple weeks ago, and I kind of asked them, I said, when did you know that I was, different? And well, my mom was like, yeah, not many 7-year-olds tell you that you want to play soccer in college. And I'm like, well, I set the goal early and achieved that one. But I played all with my friends, but I knew I wanted like a more rigorous sports life. So that's when I joined a very serious like club travel soccer team, and was at doing that from a very very early age. Swam on a club, like a travel swim team too. That was kind of the only thing I ever really quit because I was miserable. I continued to swim in the summer for the country club and everything, and then once it got to high school, I swam varsity in sixth grade to 12th grade. I was on varsity for swimming. And so when I got older, I kind of used the swimming as part of my training for injury prevention and everything. And then I played basketball up until freshman year too, when I knew I kind of only had to pick two sports, because my soccer was year round. There wasn't really a season for that. So I just, up until college, I stuck with both swimming and soccer. And then obviously in college, I was just a one sport athlete.
It's awesome. I mean, I feel like it's good to stay busy, especially in high school. I think I only played sports up until my sophomore year of high school and then kind of focused on other things. But yeah, staying busy is really key. So the next question I have is, so I get most of the questions I get for these interviews come from people that are close to me, and my mom loves listening to all these interviews. Her favorite question is, how do you juggle playing football and obviously working in an architecture firm? Like, how do you juggle having a day job and then having this passion on the side? Because it's got to be really busy.
It's definitely tough, but you have to find kind of the right supportive environment. And I've definitely found that with the firm I'm currently at. I work on sports architecture, so they're very supportive of, athletes in general. And then it's kind of rare to, being an adult and still doing all of this stuff. But it ultimately comes down to doing things that you want to and being all in on those things. So you have to be, especially with football, you can't just want to do it and then Kate sometimes work out and sometimes get good sleep and focus on recovery. It's like it, especially during season and the weeks leading up to it, it's like you have to be very focused and organized, and it's the time management has been something I've always obviously had to deal with. Studying architecture and then playing Division One soccer was way harder than anything I'm doing right now. So honestly, I think college set me up for success. I had to sacrifice a lot in college, but it was very worth it. Right now it's like, oh, I feel like I have so much free time compared to my life from 2011 to 2015. But you have to pencil in the days where you're getting the training in and intentionally pencil in your field time. Especially for me, I'm a travel player, so I live in Tampa, but I'm playing for Kansas City, so I'm flying to Kansas City every 2 weeks, and then leading up to the season, and then I'm on a plane every single weekend. I think I did the math. It's like out of the next 12 or 11 weekends, I'm on a plane 8 of those. So for
Jeez,
the next
that's
little bit,
crazy.
I'll be kind of busy. I'm not really having that weekend to relax, but unfortunately, women's football isn't a long season. So it's something we kind of have to jam all into one tight area.
I really do like how
So any
the
questions before you
WNFC is
start?
set up too, where yeah, it kind of stinks that it's a short condensed season, but those games are intense. I love watching them. I mean, I'm in Vegas, so I get to go to the Silver Star games, which are a ton of fun. And it's crazy the amount of people that actually go to the games. It's growing, and that's ultimately what needs to happen to get obviously you guys paid more. I know some people have to pay to play right now, so it'll be awesome seeing that growth as it continues to get going. So.
Yeah,
All
we've
right,
had
so.
a good turnout in Kansas City, and then when I played in Florida, we had a bunch of people at those games as well. So I think if we can continue to put a good, high quality product out on the field, people will want to watch us and want to support us. And I think that's what we just have to focus on now is just continuing to grow as individuals and as a team, just to put the best product out there.
Yeah. And the best way to describe it, I saw it on a TikTok. It was these pro women hockey players. They played in the, and I don't know what it's called. It's the NHL, the equivalent of the NHL. And they were talking about how especially the male audience, they always say, well, it's not the Sidney Crosbys or it's not the Patrick Mahomes playing. And they're saying it, once you get the mindset that it isn't the same product, but it's still a great product, it makes watching it that much better. And I'm gung ho. I like sports regardless. It doesn't matter who plays it. One of the hardest, I loved basketball. That was kind of my first love. And one of the hardest players I've ever had to guard was a girl I was dating at the time who ended up playing Division I basketball. And the only advantage I had on her is I had like 4 inches, but she would spin me around and it was crazy. So whenever people say women's sports are boring, I tend to get in their face and I'm obnoxious about it because they really don't understand. So.
Yeah, and that's how I kind of preface women's football to people too. I'm like, it's a different product. It's still a good product, but you can't go into it thinking you're going to watch like top level male athletes play the sport of football. It's just like women's soccer is, it's a very different game than men's soccer. It's kind of played differently. Obviously, different athletes, but I think the play is different, but it's still a good product, and that's really just what we're striving for.
And that's what I think people also forget is women's sports are not trying to overtake their male counterparts. That's not, I feel like that's one of the biggest misconceptions that people have is, oh, they're trying to be better. No, they're just trying to play. Let them play. It doesn't matter. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why I do this, why I interview especially female content creators when it comes to sports and athletes. It's because I want my daughter to have every single opportunity in the sports world that I have had. And I know she's 3, but that's kind of where it gets started because I already see she's built like me. They already say she's gonna be like 6'2", so I'm like getting her into basketball. Eventually, she says she wants to play football, so we'll see. We'll see if her mom lets her.
Yeah, one of my coworkers actually on Monday, so I just flew back to Tampa Sunday night from training camp, played 12 hours of football over the weekend. And so I'm obviously feeling a little physically sore. And my coworker could tell, and he was like, why are you doing this? And I said to him, I was like, I'm just trying to do my part to pave the way for the next generation. It was kind of already paved for me with women's soccer. Like, you had Mia Hamm and Brianna Scurry, and they had already done the work and they had already won the World Cups. It's like I had it easy with women's soccer. The tools I needed were already laid out for me. And so this to me is my way of paying it forward for the next generation, who may not have it paved out fully yet for women's football, but I think we'll get there.
It's well, we saw during the Pro Bowl both the Kansas City Glory and the Silver Stars got mentioned, and I was like, that is awesome. And I love RG3. I think he is, out of all the commentators, he's probably one of the most fair because a lot of them tend to be super biased, and I'm like, I can't listen to you. But RG3 does a really good job of being inclusive. And when he announced that, I was like, that is awesome. That just shows how much growth women's football and women's athletics have gone in the last, especially the last couple of years. Have for you comes from my uncle-in-law. He also has a podcast, and he asked a women's gold medalist Olympian her thoughts on this, and I really liked the question, so I just wanted to give credit to him. So the question he asked was, let's say you're in front of a giant audience. He was referring to this Olympian, but for yourself, let's say you're in front of a giant audience, and the question gets posed, why should people support women's athletics? What would your response be?
I think if people enjoy it, then they should support it. It's I would say it's, I don't want to force anyone to support anything. I don't, that's not what I'm about or here for. But just, I think people need to be honest with themselves. If you are posting about, you know, women's rights and equality, and, you know, put some backing behind that. Don't just like talk about it, be about it. And I think that's been shown with the WNFC's partnership with Dick's Sporting Goods and Adidas and all the other great brands. They really see an opportunity, and they believe that, you know, women should have similar opportunities. So they're actually doing something about it. And then, you know, if it's not for you, I think we just ask, like, okay, move on. Don't, you know, put any other negativity out in the world. But I think we really need those supporters that we do have to, like, scream 10 times louder, just to really be able to bring us up to that level. It's like, I don't want to force anyone, but I think we could really make moves with the supporters we do have, just continuing to bring people on board and show them what we're all about.
That's awesome. Well, so I'm interning. I don't know if you know who Lofa Tatupu is, but he used to be an all-pro linebacker for the Seahawks. I'm interning for his podcast right now, and they have a Kansas City Chiefs like correspondent. Like, it's the same concept as their podcast, and it's a former Chiefs player. So I'm going to tell him, because I've convinced Lofa that he needs to give it a try, go see the Majestics play up in Seattle. So I'll have him reach out to, I don't know who the player is on the Chiefs podcast, but it'd be awesome to just go see, have him go watch your guys' game, because it is, I love watching the NFC. I think some of the hits are even harder than the male counterparts. Like, I mean, obviously not Aaron Donald, but there's still some hits that I'm like, I don't even want to get hit. Like, I try to, every chance I get, I try to plug in all like the WFA and the WNFC, just because I think a lot of people do have that misconception that it's just lingerie football, when in reality it isn't. So.
Yeah, we appreciate those little plugs for us. And I think just RG3 saying that, it's he has this platform and he was able to use it to just highlight two teams that are working so hard. And there are, I keep getting introduced to new football leagues and new football teams that I've never heard of. So the numbers keep growing, and I think that's a great sign for everyone.
Yeah, it really is cool to see it happen. So the last question I have for you, what has been your most memorable play thus far in women's football? If you could pick one. I know sometimes that can be difficult, but if one play that stands out the most for you.
I think my favorite play, am I allowed to be selfish and say one I did?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Please be selfish. This interview is about you. Please be selfish.
So it was my first season playing football. So this is my third season now. It was my first season. I was with Kansas City. And we were at home against Houston Heat. And, you know, I wore 87. I had yellow cleats. I had yellow gloves. And I'm lined up on the right side of the line. And I run basically like a corner. And my quarterback just throws this ball up. I'm in double coverage. And I just like leap up there. And I high point this ball. And I bring it down, bring it into my chest. And I'm just like on the ground. And I didn't fully understand the rules of football. I didn't know that I was down already. So I just laid there holding this ball as tight as I could. And there's a funny picture of me just laying there holding this ball like a baby, basically in the fetal position, protecting this thing, because it was such a fun catch that I didn't want to ruin it. But The funniest part to me was the announcer was, he hadn't quite made the connection yet that both Travis Kelce and I went to Cincinnati, but he said, looking like Travis Kelce out there in those yellow gloves. And I mean, that's obviously such a high honor. Not just like looking like him, but also running similar routes and being able to do kind of similar things respectively on the field. That was kind of the so far the highlight, but I'm hoping to have many more moments.
Well, like we were talking about earlier, there must be something at the University of Cincinnati with these this tight end university. So I expect a lot of awesome things to come from you. So before we go, is there anyone you'd like to shout out?
I would like to shout out my head coach, Coach Kiki. She is so inspirational, so supportive, so knowledgeable. She was a beast when she was playing, and she really just instills greatness in her players. And I appreciate that so much. Everyone else appreciates that. But I also have to shout out to Krishna Lee and Sheila Sikow. They've kind of moved into more management positions with the Kansas City Glory, but both of those women really pushed this sport for both us and for the future generation. Sheila works for the Chiefs and she does so much with NFL Flag and really just getting the word out there. I appreciate all three of those women and really taking me in under their wing and helping me throughout this journey.
That's awesome. Thank you again for coming on. And I will tag her Instagram on this episode, and I'll also give a tag to the Glory and the WNFC. If you don't already give them a follow, please give them a follow. That's the best way to have them grow. But thank you again. It was an honor. You're the first Kansas City Glory player on my podcast. So
Love it. Thank you so much for
not
having me.
no problem. And this podcast was brought to you by Breaking Down the Tape. And again, please go give her a follow and go give the Kansas City Glory some love. Thank you again.
Thank you.